Hello and welcome to this Professional Organisers Edge teleclass called Needs Assessment Mastery. There is another Needs Assessment teleclass previously recorded, and members can get access to that. And it provides a good basic understanding of needs assessments, and there are very many different applications and different formats and so on. But we're going to drill down a little bit deeper today and sort of really look at a process that works for me and has done for a long time, and the things to look out for. So, welcome. I'm Angela Ainoff, and I run my own organising business, which is Creating Order from Chaos, as well as the Professional Organisers Edge membership program. And I'm really pleased to have several members on the call tonight. As usual, there will be code words to write down, and what you do with the code words I'll tell you at the end, but you just need to write them down for now, and they will get you closer to your APO accreditation, and that's something worth having. We will have a Q&A time right at the end, as well as a chance to enter into some discussion about a case that has been presented to me. It's not one of my cases, but somebody's written in with something, and I can see that it would be a good one to test out this process on that I'm going to share with you tonight. So, let's get started because there's a lot to get through. Now, why needs assessment mastery? Why do you want to master a needs assessment? Well, one thing is it's a great way to really connect with your potential client. And of course, with anything, right at the beginning stages with your client relationship, you're trying to discover if you're the right fit for each other. You want to know, is this client someone you want to work with, you can work with, and so on, and they're trying to figure out, is this the organiser for me? So this is a way to really demonstrate your skills, your learning and listening skills, and how you provide a really personal and valuable service. You get to show your understanding, and you get to draw out from the client their innermost wishes, etc. You get to sell your services in this process. We'll talk about selling services, obviously, in more detail. You get to give confidence, because remember that our clients are usually, they probably haven't hired an organiser before. They probably don't know what to expect. They don't know if you're the one to help them with their problem that they've probably been struggling with for a long, long time. So you want to give them confidence in the process, in you, in you know, the fact that there's an answer out there for them. And of course, the real reason for needs assessment is so that you can figure out what exactly do they need and want to be successful. Now, I have learned quite a few different needs assessment techniques over the years. I've learned from Julie Morgenstern in person. I've learned from my coach, Elizabeth Hagen. I've learned from various classes and so on with ICD and NAPO and APO colleagues in conferences and so on. And mostly I've learned from my own experience. And you will be too. You'll be figuring out what works and what doesn't work and your own style even. You know, some people might work well with checklists and, you know, a very formal approach. That doesn't seem to work for me. It doesn't seem to work for the clients that I work with. So there you go. Now, when to use a needs assessment. One of the things when people were booking in for this class, one of the questions that was asked of me was, are you going to tell us when to use this? Is it for on the phone? Is it for in person, etc.? And it is, yes, you can start this on the phone. And I certainly have, you know, a certain process that I go through on the phone with people when they first inquire. But really the bulk of what I'm going to share with you is meant for in the home, in person, because there's a lot of interactive stuff and observation involved. So you can use this on virtual consultations as well. Of course, you have to adapt. And you can't always get exactly a full picture. It's harder in a virtual consultation to get a full picture. But, you know, all things are possible. They can be formal needs assessments or informal, as in, you know, the written report and all of that sort of thing can be included or not. And that's really, again, up to you and your style. I gave up writing needs assessment reports quite a while ago, and occasionally I'm asked to do them and I don't enjoy it at all, and I always, you know, feel like tripling my price just to make sure it doesn't happen. But there is no one-size-fits-all with these things, because there'll be questions you want to ask in certain situations of certain people that you may not have to ask everybody else. There will be, you know, situations outside the norm and so on, as there always is in our industry. But there are some commonalities. Everybody wants to be heard. So everybody, when they hire you, they want to tell their story and they want to be understood. They want the confidence that you understand their needs. You understand how they got themselves into this pickle or whatever, you know, however they find themselves. The other thing is they all want to know how long it's going to take. And that can be hard to answer, so we'll address that later as well. And the other thing is, all of them, everybody wants a quick win. So whether you start, whether you have a standalone needs assessment and then go home and do a formal report or think about it and then present your plan and so on afterwards, or whether you are right there and you plan to do the needs assessment as part of a longer session with the client, they all want a quick win. And the quick win is a brilliant way of selling your services and showing the value of having hired you right away. So I highly recommend looking for that quick win. We'll talk again more about that later. But that brings me to number one code word, and that is win. We want a quick win, W-I-N. So, what is this system that I have? Well, first of all, it starts with a mindset, and that is to leave judgment at the door and embrace observation. It is a very different thing to make observations than it is to make judgments. And I know when I first started in childcare very, very long time ago, we were taught to make observations. In other words, if you're watching two children at play and they, you know, they suddenly start snatching toys from each other, a judgment would be to leap to saying, oh, Susie's cross with so-and-so because, you know, she pulled her hair or something. But that's not an observation. An observation would be to simply state the facts of what you see. You would say, you know, I see Susie has a sad face or a frustrated face. She has, pulled the toy away from the other child. Her voice is getting louder. So they're what you're seeing, the reality of it, without any additional judgment or input on behalf of your own values. Now, why it's important to do that is that sometimes if you assume things when you're looking around, you won't actually get to the bottom of the story. For instance, if I walk up to a client's house and by the door is a pile of boxes and they look like, you know, they're dusty and they've got things hanging out of them and so on. Now, I've never been there before. I could make a judgment thinking, oh, these people are really disorganized. You know, they've had stuff sitting at their doorstep for 3 years. I could think that. In fact, maybe that's the case. Or maybe those things have already been sorted out and they're waiting for collection by a charity. So the observation instead would be you see piles of boxes by the front door. And why you would want to simply make the observation and instead of a judgment is because you want to be curious about that. That's something that you can ask about to learn more about your client and the situation you're going into. And I'm not saying that you would knock on the door and say, hello, what are these boxes doing here? You wouldn't do that either. There's a time and a place for making those inquisitive remarks. So anyway, start with making observations rather than having a judgment sort of mindset. The next thing is you're going to gather information. And everything is a clue, everything. Everything they say, the tone of their voice, everything that you see in the room, in the house, the interactions between family members, that's all clues. And I'm not going to go into everything because it's another whole topic. But if you're interested, listen to the How to Be an Organizing Detective class that has been recorded. And you're going to gather information, observe everything, ask questions, and listen hard. They're not asking hard questions and listening, but ask questions and listen really hard to what they tell you. And then you're going to make a tour of the home. You're going to clarify assumptions, both yours and theirs. So again, that's when you start to make your observations and ask clarifying questions. Tell me about this pile of boxes next to the front door, and so on. And then when I say clarify their assumptions, they may say things like, oh, yeah, that coat there is one of my favourite coats. I love wearing it. However, and I've had this happen twice, it always makes me smile. However, if you say, but there's a tag still on that coat, you know, in their own mind, they weren't making up stories. In their own mind, they really obviously like that coat, but they haven't actually worn it. So there's a chance now to deal with all kinds of assumptions. And when I'm doing this tour of the home and asking questions, asking clarifying questions, digging deeper, making observations, I'm writing down notes, writing down everything that I see here, everything I want to know more about. What I'm not doing is making my suggestions. For instance, if we're walking into a home office and I can see, a filing issue, and straight away I might have a thought in my head, oh, I know how to fix that, no problem. I've seen it lots of times before. If we interrupt the flow of the tour and the client's conversation and their story with, oh, why don't you do such and such, you get off track. You can get down a rabbit hole instead of staying on track, staying on the tour, gathering the information and so on. So instead of doing that, I simply make notes of my, you know, possible suggestions. Consider this type of filing. Ask them, you know, have they tried such and such? That's the other thing that you can do. You'll be asking questions about what they've tried, etc. We'll talk about those kind of questions later. And then when you've done the tour, you've done your observations, you've figured out, you know, you've heard the story, you've written down some suggestions, it's time to step back and think. Now, I do this right on the spot. I just ask for some thinking time, maybe up to 15 minutes. The first few times you do that, it's a little awkward. It's kind of weird to sit in someone's living room or kitchen and at the table just thinking, pondering, you know, tapping your pen while you work through some issues. But it's okay because the end result is worth it. And, you know, they go off, make you a cup of tea or get you a glass of water and leave you alone, as long as you let them know why you're doing this. So why you're doing it is so that you can present them with a plan. Remember that what everybody wants to know is, have they been heard? They want the confidence that you've understood and you know what to do next. And they want to know how long, and they want a quick win. And by taking that thinking time, you can deliver that. Now, this thinking time concept might be maybe a step too far for you if you're just starting out. I would say give it a go, see how it goes. But if you really don't want to do that, you can say, look, I'm going to go away and get back to you in a couple of days with my plan. That's fine too. But I think if you give yourself confidence, the confidence to try it out, you'll see that, especially when we've talked about some of the other things that you'll be looking for, you'll see that it's really worth doing it on the spot, mainly because it's the perfect time to get them signed up. You know, the selling process is so much easier. So you've had your thinking time, you've thought up your plan, you have gone through all the suggestions that you'd written down, and by now you will have gone, oh, okay, I already asked her if she had ever tried anything, and she said she tried that thing that I suggested, and that's not going to work because it didn't work for it. So straight away you've saved some time and some face, if you know what I mean, like in not presenting a dud of a plan. So you present your plan. Now, I don't think it's necessary to present a plan for a great big long-term project straight away, because that is going to need some more thought. The plan might just be for the next stage, the first bit that you're going to work on together. So you present your plan, and then you're having a conversation and getting a feedback loop. You know, finding out, well, are they on board with your plan? Can they see the vision of how it would work? If they can't, the feedback loop kicks in and you can adjust your plan, or you can educate them a little more, explain something better, demonstrate how something might work better, give them some confidence about what to do next and so on. So that's the basic steps in the system. There are some optional extras, like the written plan. So as I said, I don't give a written plan anymore. What I have done is handed over my handwritten notes and they've photocopied them, or, you know, given a verbal plan and they're okay with that, or I would simply type it up into an email the very dot points, not the whole big plan, but just the dot points. And that really is enough for most people. So that's optional, extra, the written plan. The separate consultation as a standalone needs assessment, that's an optional extra too. So what I generally do is say, okay, this is the plan. This is our first session together. In that first session, we're going to do a needs assessment process, and then we'll get stuck in and do some stuff. And the reason I do that is people have asked for it. You know, they have mucked around long enough with this idea of hiring somebody to help them. By the time they've picked up the phone, made the appointment, waited a couple of weeks or whatever until I get there, they're really ready to take some steps. It's a bit anticlimactic for them if I then go away and say, okay, well, I'll see you in another 2 weeks to implement that plan we just talked about. So you can see why the clients that I work with, they want action straight away. Which is brilliant because I want the quick win as well. And so for me, it's part of that first session. As I said before, if you're starting out, it may be too much of a step for you. That it might be that you want to separate the consultation out. Some things to look out for with needs assessments in general. One is tire kickers. There's tire kickers and the brain pickers. Both of them are a little bit of a waste of time. Both of them, if you charge enough for your service, for your needs assessment service, you can get rid of both of them. Tire kickers are the people who really, you know, they're testing you out. They haven't really decided if they want to go ahead with the stuff. And if you really have no clients on the books, getting in the front door with tire kickers, you might convert a few of them. In my business, I got to the stage where I didn't have time for tire kickers anymore. I implemented a bunch of other things at the same time, but one thing I have always done is charged for my needs assessment. I get paid for it. If I'm getting out the door, getting in my car, driving halfway across town, spending time nutting out the perfect solution for you, you better believe you're going to pay me for it. And it's the same with the brain pickers. If you go out there and give people everything, all the answers, all in one hit, and they madly write down all your suggestions, and then you go off and they're happily implementing all the suggestions alone without you involved, it's a bit of a shame if you haven't been paid well for that information. Because let's remember that with organising, it is not just your time physically with them that they're paying for. It's for your experience, for your creative mind, for your knowledge of supplies. It's for all of those things that you know, it's the package. So you've got to get paid for what you do, and a really good needs assessment is a really good service that deserves being paid for. So this is an action step that I want you to consider, not right now, but I want you to think about what are you going to charge for your needs assessment. And, you know, there's all kinds of formulas that you could apply. But some basic questions to ask about that are, how long is it going to take you? So in other words, you know, how many of those could you fit into a week? So therefore, how many of those would you get paid for and so on? How much information are you going to impart? How valuable is it to the client? And is it something that they will be able to you know, use themselves? Is it going to deliver on all of those things that they all want? They want to be heard. They want to get the confidence that you understand their needs. They want to know how long it's going to take, and they want the quick win. So action step for you, figure out what you're going to charge. Okay, so let's drill down a little bit more. We've talked about the basic premise of the system, how it flows through. And I should say there is a cheat sheet that I'll send along with the recording of this as well, so that you can see the flow of what goes on here. Questions to ask so that you can do all that clarifying, so that you find all the clues, so that you can clarify assumptions and so on. I like to keep them quite broad at first, because what you really want to do is let them talk. Let them tell you their story without being prompted by you, so that the minute you start prompting, the story gets skewed to what you want to hear rather than what they need to tell. So obviously, eventually, you have to drill down to what you want to know. But in the beginning, let them talk. And some open-ended questions to get them talking are things like, tell me about. Tell me more about XYZ. Tell me more about this pile here by the door. It's not saying, you haven't said how long has it been there, because how long has it been there can evoke a defensive kind of an answer, but tell me more about it is completely open. You know, they could tell you what's in it, they could tell you how long it's been there, they could tell you it's not really my stuff, you know, all that kind of thing. Then what's working is another good one. And it often surprises people that you're asking what's working, because obviously they want to tell you what's not working as well. But what's working is a great clue-finding tool. You want to know, where are they succeeding and why? So first of all, what's working? They might say, oh, nothing. It's all hopeless. But I would challenge them on that. And it's important to try to figure out where things are working for them. Because if they're managing to get a meal on the table, a home-cooked meal on the table, and the dining room table is cleared every day, that's a big clue to what might actually be successful in the future for other things that's not working. So what's working? If they say nothing, I would then ask some clarifying questions. Well, you know, who does the cooking might be something that you ask. Who, you know, do you have trouble with laundry? Do you have trouble with getting to places on time? That kind of thing. And they might actually say, no, no, that's not a problem. But they have, you know, in their heads, they're hopeless. They're never going to be organized. They don't recognize the things that they're doing well. But we need to do that, if only to build up their confidence. The other question, obviously, is what's not working. And this can obviously, they're going to be able to convey more information to you about. But they also might say, well, everything. Everything's not working. So, we need to prompt. Do you get to work on time? Talk about the activities of daily living. So, the cooking, cleaning, showering themselves, getting dressed in the morning. You know, you're obviously going to have to look around you at the level of clutter, or not, because you might have a situation where there's no visible clutter and yet they're telling you they're completely disorganized. And why is that? Why? There you go. Good luck with that. Another question to ask is, what have you tried in the past? That's a really good one, and it's important. What have you tried in the past, and did it work? You might find that, yeah, it worked for a little while, but then this happened and it all fell down again. And that could be a clue to something that does work for them. And the mere fact that it's broken down is not a sign that it's never going to work for them again. It might be a sign that, okay, here's an opportunity for me to take what was working for them and tweak it so that it doesn't fall down again. Again, drilling down into the questions about what worked about it, what didn't work about it, what they liked about it, and so on. So all the time you are listening hard, for their motivation. What's their motivation for doing it right now? Okay, they might have always had this problem with being disorganized. Why have they called you in now? There might be a deadline looming. There might be some particular pressure getting them to act now. It might be that they've finally just, you know, fed up with it. It might be that now they've got the money to do it and they never did before. It might simply be that now they've heard that there's such a thing as an organizer that can help them. But it's important to figure out what's their motivation now. You've also got to listen for when they say one thing but mean something else. That can be tricky, but you want to look for contradictions in what they're saying so that you can ask more questions about it, test the assumptions that you're both making. In a nice way, kind of challenge them on their thinking and so on. One thing I look out for is the yeah buts. The yeah buts are those people who say, yeah, but that's never going to work. No matter what you suggest or what you put forward, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's not going to work. Hopefully you won't come across many of those. Hopefully people are ready and they're ready to take action. But a clear sign to me that these people are not ready to work with me is when they're doing the yeah buts. Listen for their past failures and their disappointments and their transition times, those times where, you know, often people will say something like, I used to be really organized, you know, when I was at school or when I before I had babies, I was really organized. Here's a big clue. Here's a big statement. Something's happened in that they haven't successfully managed the transition. So why has that happened? Why is there the cause? What's happened with this transition? Why hasn't it worked? Listen for the budget. You know, it's no use arriving at someone's home, seeing that the scope of what they want to do is absolutely enormous and you have all the perfect answers in the world. Yes, you know how to solve this problem. Only trouble is it's going to cost them $20,000, you know. And if the budget isn't there, if they're talking about, I really can't afford many hours, it's going to affect what you're going to be able to do with them. Similarly, listen for any stumbling blocks, any kind of resistance, any kind of reasons that you can't do things, something as simple as, you know, they're renting, whether or not they own the home can have an impact on what your plan might be, whether or not their partner's on board with this, whether or not they want to spend lots of time doing this or they just want you in there one time and out again and never have to deal with you again. All of these things that you're listening for. And you are very definitely looking for the cause of the clutter. the cause of them, whatever it is, whether it's time management problems, whether it's the fact that they have lost mobility, what's really going on? Do they have the skills that they need? Do they know that, you know, if you want to have clean clothes tomorrow to wear, you really need to be washing and drying them today? There's all kinds of reasons that people are disorganized. Some of them could be, you know, ADHD. It could be that they've got Parkinson's disease. You know, maybe it's just a lack of having enough storage in their home. Maybe they have a big house but there's not very much practical storage. Maybe they've got a little house and they've got too much stuff. So whatever the cause of the clutter is, you want to be really clear and just deliver the news to them in a matter-of-fact observational style, not, well, you know, of course you've got clutter, you've got, you know, you're trying to keep way too much stuff. But, of course, you're going to be more tactful than that. Let's see. Now, when you're on this tour with them, you're touring their home, and you are going to test some theories out. Select a pile or two. In a really cluttered home, you're not going to be able to do this with every pile of stuff. But you might see a significant pile and just ask some questions about it. Tell me more about this. Test the theories that you've got going on in your mind about what might be going on. What about the attachment issues? Do they have some tendencies towards hoarding? Do they have, any ideas about what's going on here? So you can ask some questions about particular piles, so you're finding out more and more detail. And you can also test their commitment by saying, all right, if I was able to take some of this clutter away with me today, you know, show me what I could take right now, right today. And now you're going to see, are they really going to be able to get rid of stuff? Are they going to throw up some yeah buts right then and there? You know, are they going to give you, it could be valid reasons why this stuff has to stay. But you will find out what you're dealing with. And this is important to know when it comes to saying how long is it going to take. Because you should be able to get a feel pretty soon for the person who's, I'm sick of this stuff. I really just want it gone. Can we start working on it right now? And yes, that's going. Yep, out it goes. I never saw it there. That's going to be much quicker than the person who's going to resist, tell stories about each item, want to hang on, want to debate with you about whether it's worth keeping, etc. All right. Now, I said before, don't share your suggestions on the tour, but the time to share the suggestions is at the end when you're sitting down after you've done the tour, and you want to, before you write up your plan and so on, you want to start using some of the information you've gathered to test these assumptions and so on. And that brings me to the second code word, which is tour. T-O-U-R, the Tour de France and the tour of the house, the tour. So you've done that. You've asked for your thinking time. Now you're ready to present a broad plan. Not fine detail. It's not time to be doing measurements, etc., of a space to see if such and such a storage solution is going to fit and all that sort of stuff. Because let's not forget, they're probably not yet a committed client. They might have just paid for this first part of the service and they haven't yet just said, yep, you're the one for me, and let's get ahead, go ahead with our big plan. They haven't done that yet. And until they do, it's probably not worth your while spending a lot of time on detail. They want to know, as I said, the potential timing. And if you're really not sure how long you think it's going to take, I would suggest just choosing the very first project that you're going to work on. And it might be the shoe collection. You know, I would suggest it's better to do a very, very small portion rather than let's tackle the home office. You might say let's tackle that drawer in the home office. Because if you are wrong about your estimation on how long it takes to do that home office, it can be, you know, a really big difference. It can be days and hours that you're wrong. If you're wrong about your estimation for one drawer, it's not really a big deal. You know, so it took 2 hours when you thought it would take one. That's easier to fix. And it actually gives you more information to work on and to base your future estimates on as well. So what I like to say to people when they want to know how long is it going to take, I say how long I think this first little project's going to take. And then I say that, you know, let's see what happens there and we will then know how long the next stage is going to take. And by the end of that, you should have a pretty good idea how quickly they work, do they make fast decisions, are they willing to let go of stuff, are they willing to listen to your advice, and all of these things make things go much more quickly, of course. When you're presenting your broad plan, you also want to tell them when can you fit it in? Because they might get really excited and go, woohoo, this is a plan for me. Let's do it now. If you don't have time now, you better have an answer for when you do have time. You know, let's book it in next week. It doesn't have to be next week, but they want some certainty. You know, they've pondered a long time, they've mucked about, they've been nagged about their stuff, they've searched for the answer. Finally, they have the answer with you. They just need to know when is it going to happen. So make sure you've got your diary. And this is, of course, your chance to sell your services, to say, look, I've got an opening on these days. Which day can we book it in? That usually will get them filling the diary. And the other thing, it's a bit of a sales tip, is if you think it's going to be over a few sessions, book in those few sessions right there and then. Don't wait until they get to the end of the first one and then they go, oh, yeah, I don't know how, I think we're going on holidays. Book it in. It can always be changed. Both of you can have other things come up, but book it in. Now, when you are presenting this plan, you really want to present it as though it were a prescription. If you think about when you go to the doctor, and if a doctor says, right, I think this is what you've got wrong with you, and this is the drug that you need, he writes a prescription, he or she writes a prescription out, you take it probably without questioning at all and go and get that prescription filled. And that's kind of the mindset you want your client to be in. This is the answer. I know that this person, this organiser, has the answer for me, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to get that prescription filled. Not, oh well, yeah, I've heard that drug might work, but I'm going to do some googling about whether it actually will work. You want to leave them with that confident feeling that you have the answer for them, and this is it. And then, of course, you want the quick win. Now, the quick win could be something as simple as those three boxes that were at your front door, would you like me to take them with me right now to the charity store? Woohoo! Big win for the client. Straight away they can see a difference has been made in their home. A quick win might be, listen, I know I saw in your bedroom that you have a problem with children's toys lying all around the place. Let's do X, Y, and Z. You know, it might be let's get them into a basket at the door of your bedroom, or let's create a policy that kids' toys don't come into the bedroom. Whatever little quick win that is, that's fine. It might be let's clear out your pantry, you know, which is the most cluttered, disorganised shelf on your pantry. Let's deal with that right now because I've got half an hour left in our session. Those are the quick wins that create the little buzz for people, you know. You walk out the door and they go, oh, fantastic, you know, I can't wait to work with her again. And then, of course, the feedback loop. Do they agree? Do they have any questions? It's really important to take into consideration their concerns, their, you know, if they are hesitating on anything, find out why. Address that right now. Don't go away and hope that they're okay with things because it'll fester. If they have a little concern or a little something that they weren't confident to ask about, that could be the one thing that says that makes them ring up the next day and say, oh, actually, no, I won't. Go ahead. So do address the feedback that you're getting. Now, I knew this was going to be a big session, so let's push on. We are nearly towards the end. But the big thing about a needs assessment, when it's done really well, it isn't just a selling tool, it isn't just a gathering information tool that you never look at again. It's something, it's like a living document. It's a living thing that evolves over time. I really like to do an assessment, a recheck every single time I come to a client because things change, etc. But when you've done it well and you've drilled down and you've really understood the client, what they need, what their biggest bugbears have been, what their biggest hopes and dreams are, you've got the tool to help them be motivated in the future when it gets to the, you know, the messy bit, when they when it may be getting hard and they're losing motivation and losing steam, you can buck them up again because you've really understood what they want. You can see the vision that's coming for them. They may lose that vision. They may lose hope. It provides a mirror for them because you can say, look, when we started, remember you said that this was your goal and look how far you've come. Look how far. Remember back then you couldn't sit down at your dining table. Remember back then, you know, you couldn't do this. You couldn't, you know, get the car into the garage. Look at how far you've come now. And look how now you have confidence in sorting things. You now do these things much more easily. It also provides a roadmap. So in the initial needs assessment, you might address five rooms of the house that need work. And you get to the end of the first room. Well, you already know that where you're headed next because you've done that in the needs assessment. You don't then have to sell them on working on the next room. You don't have to convince them that there's more to do. You've already addressed that. You already know that. Now, I'm going to share the third code word with you because I know that some people might need to leave, but there is a really good case that's come to me today that I want to have some open discussion about. So I'll share the third code word with you and you can head off if you want. Code word number three is mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R. And if you want to head off right now, I'll tell you that all you have to do is email it to me, the three code words, to angela@creatingorder.com.au, and then you will receive your certificate for claiming your professional development hours for the APO accreditation. But for those that want to stay, You can unmute yourselves if you like, star six. And I'll read out this this case. And what I want you to be thinking about is some questions, clarifying questions you would ask. It might be hard to imagine the tour of the home, etc. But it's just an interesting story. Okay. This client has a very busy life, 2 children and runs 8 businesses. It's a woman and she has ADHD and finds it very hard to face her stuff. She has been working with an organiser already for quite a while and she desperately wants to get organised, but because she can't face the stuff, is finding it hard to continue, doesn't like to be there with the client, with the organiser. What might work for this client? Thankfully, there's a strong bond between the client and the organiser. A lot of trust has been built up, which is fabulous. She knows she has to face her stuff, but everything else takes her priority away. And obviously, ADHD is playing a part there, I would think. So getting her to focus is the issue. So if we have a client, let's say this client is, you know, distracted, has a lot of stuff going, actual stuff going on in her life, not just, you know, I'm going to go off shopping and avoid the situation, but there's real distractions. How can we use a needs assessment to get her more focused on and staying there to be able to go through the stuff? Has anybody got some suggestions?
Karen here. I think you'd ask, first of all, ask her to commit to what sort of time frame she could commit to work in small parcels of time to do a bit of one particular area, and you ask her what she'd choose to do first.
Yes, excellent question. Yeah, find out what you know, you want to make it painless almost, don't
yes.
you? Yes. Yep.
So bite-sized pieces that she'd commit to,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd set it in your diaries together.
Yes.
Okay, let's do such and such and then even have a reward at the end.
Mm. And how would you use the needs assessment to determine where to start?
I think I'd look at what she had indicated was most important to her,
mm-hmm.
and clarify that with her. What it seems to me like the kitchen is the area that's most bothering you at the moment. If we could conquer the kitchen a bit, would that make life easier for you?
Yeah.
What part of the kitchen should we start on? I've noticed that the pantry's really bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if we slotted in an hour after lunch on such and such a day,
yep.
And we did it 3 weeks in a row, you'd then be able to use your pantry better?
Mm. Yep.
So
right.
You'd get a commitment from her.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Anybody else?
Yes, anybody else? No?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just so sorry, I'm just thinking.
I mentioned the reward idea because I have a particular person I've been working with,
mm-hmm.
who responds to those rewards. She's much better if we set a timer or make an agreement together and say, when we've done this box and this box, let's have a cuppa.
Excellent. Yep. Mm. And a break, that is enough of a reward for some people. I know one of my clients needs a cigarette as a reward.
Yes.
You know. And the harder the task, the more frequently that's required, you know.
Yeah. But if they can see a light at the end of the tunnel,
yeah.
they can commit to spend a bit of time with you.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the buzz that they get from completing that task they set for themselves means it's not so hard next time.
Exactly.
Mm.
And that's a great question to ask in a needs assessment is, well, what reward are you going to set for yourself when it's all over? What
okay.
giant reward, but also what little things along the way are going to work, as well as that good question about how long can they commit. Because often when we're all working as organisers, we say, I'm not having sessions shorter than 4 hours. Well, that might work for you, but it might not work for the client.
Yeah.
So there can be, you know, you have to think of a workaround then.
I struck one lady who said, I'm a bit of a hoarder and it distresses me, so I can only work for 2 hour periods at a time.
Yep.
So you'd obviously accept that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe Angela, or also it's Danielle. Hi. The looking at the really quick win as well to show her that, yeah, again, you don't need to spend a lot of time, but it's helping her to see that she can focus for a short amount of time and see a difference in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And
so, yeah, it might not be the area that could make the biggest impact.
Yep.
But it could be just to help her to, feel confident in that she can get a quick win.
Yeah, exactly. And so the quick win might be the whole pantry, or it might just be let's spend some time clearing this tiny space so that we can, fix that thing that really bugs her, whether it's the mail that never gets opened or that she can never find, you know, the dog's leash or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Find that quick win. It's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because there's already a rapport between the client and the organiser. Like, they've obviously worked together before on this
mm-hmm.
job, it sounds like.
Yep.
Could not things like us as the professional organiser kind of pre-do a whole lot, and then they only need like 15 minutes of attention
yes.
at the end to make decisions on final things, but
exactly.
we've already done the pre-sort or the pre whatever
mm-hmm.
it is to make the drudgery of the job
yep.
done for the client, so that it is just a quick decision for it, because I get that a lot. There's people just crazy busy and that just sit there and go through things for hours, just
yeah.
they just don't have the time.
Definitely.
But they're happy for you to do it. They just need
yep.
to say so at the end or
yep,
something.
Exactly.
So
and
that's
where
the trust issue, isn't it?
The really in-depth questions are really useful.
Yeah.
So if you figure out, let's say they want you to sort through their scarves, and what you need to know from them are, what are the criteria for keeping them?
Yep.
What are the, you know, what colours do they like the best? Do they prefer some textures? How many are they willing to keep?
Yep.
And then you can do a pre-sort based on what they've told you, and then ask them to come along and approve it or just, you know, negotiate on a couple of other ones and so
yep.
on. So
or group certain
yeah.
things together just to
exactly.
make the decision easier or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Yeah.
So she can, you know, technically be in the home at the time, but
yeah, yeah.
not having to be right there and then.
Yep.
And maybe you say to her, all right, I'm going to, you know, every half an hour I'm going to need 10 minutes of your time
yep.
to go through the thing, the piles that I've pre-sorted for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Any other comments that people want to make? No. I think we've solved the problem.
Yes.
I think we've all done a great job. Yeah.
Well, I've loved this class.
Oh, good.
Me
well,
too.
yeah.
Are there any questions for anybody that, you know, that have come out of the class? No? Okay. If you think of something the minute you hang up, that's okay. Let's keep the conversation going in the Facebook group. And also you can email me. I'm happy to send my answers to you. As well, I said there was a cheat sheet which will come out tomorrow with the recording of this class. I've told you what to do with the code words, but I'll tell you again. Email them to me, angela@creatingorder.com.au. If you want, you can also email me your action item, which was, what are you going to charge for your needs assessment? I don't care what the amount is. I want you to just go through the process of thinking about it. And I will tell you that next time, the next teleclass is on August the 23rd, and it's called From Goals to Action. Now, I know that August seems like a weird time to be talking about goals, because isn't that what we do in the new year? But this is, I think it's an excellent time to set goals, because a lot of people will have been to the
conference.
A lot of people will be coming out of there feeling buzzed, ready to take some actions and so on. Also, this same process that we'll talk about is something that you can do with your clients, maybe in January or maybe straight away. So from goals to action next time. And thank you all for joining the class. And I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, Angela. It was a pleasure.